Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 12. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou didst see was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose name were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eight, and is of the seven, and goes into perdition. And the ten horns which thou saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Verse number 1. One of the seven angels which had the seven vials came and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. This angel is one of the seven. The seven angels revealed the wrath of God and his righteous judgments in the chapters number 15 and 16, and now in this chapter 17. The beauty and magnitude of the revelation messages reveal the higher and lasting dimensions of the everlasting gospel and the greatly corrupted nature of rebellion against our Creator and Savior. Both sides are seen by the sinners exactly as opposite of the true reality revealed in this marvelous book. Think of the vision in the chapter number 12, verses number 1 through 6. The great wonder. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns, and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. This holy beauty in the chapter 12 is adorned in the splendor of the Almighty Creator and Deliverer. He has crowned her with His grace, mercy and love for all the souls redeemed by His own Lamb. but she travails to give birth to the new life for all that will trust and obey the Son, in whom the Eternal Father is perfectly pleased and represented, our Redeemer. This birth is not effortless. It is not painless. It is travail before the gaping jaws of the bloodthirsty monster. Yet the child is born. He is born not to be a victim of the dragon, but to deliver many victimized by Satan and sin. This woman in the holy splendor is victorious in fleeing from evil and feeding upon the bread of life until the last redeemed soul gets saved. Chapter 12 reveals the blessedness of the persecuted bride and the glorious purpose of her labor and suffering. All godly laborers and sufferers are faithful, victorious, and glorious because the Spirit of our God's Son reigns in them. This chapter number 17 gives us another meaningful insight into the entire everlasting gospel. First Epistle of Peter, chapter number 1, verses number 23 through 25, and Revelation chapter number 14, verse number 6. This chapter is reminding us of the entire gospel teaching. All that the godless rebels display in their ostentation, their vanity, pride, arrogance, luxury, entertainment, rage, or deceitful benevolence, all are the signs of our God's righteous judgment against their abominable and blasphemous wickedness. We are blessed to see it all before the last judgment. Yes, the whore is great, but she is the whore, and the whoredom is a clear sign. She is under the great, uncompromising, righteous judgment of our God. She is so great that she sits upon many waters. But in the verse number 15, we see that under her seat are many people, unstable and, at times, raging like waves foaming out their filth and her own shame. Epistle of Jude, verse number 13. Her seat is as shaky as big it is. She pretends, or perhaps believes, that she is invincible. But our Lord says in the chapter number 16, verse number 15, that He comes as a thief. Blessed is everyone that keeps his garments of His, our Lord's, righteousness. The big whore is not blessed. She is condemned. She is not pure and holy. She is abominable and blasphemous. She is not in Christ, but in sin. Condemned. Verse number 2. The kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Religious, social, political, and military fornication has been the practice of many rulers. They do not believe what the whore is teaching, yet they support her and often enforce her demands to achieve their own evil goals. The inhabitants under her influence are addicted to her intoxicating entertainment and promises of greater pleasure and wealth that is almost always just a step away. Only a little more wickedness, a little more oppression, cruelty, tyranny, bloodshed, perversions, and they will be successful and established forever. And soon, new lie and new promise again. Verses 3 and 4. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. This woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. The satanic beast has no genuine loyalty to this whore. Yet the beast carries her on to sustain his own beast's abominable purpose. the whore has no true affection or faithfulness for the beast, but she earns her position by her whoredom. She knows no decent life, no sound character. Our God's judgment is evident in every part of her existence and activity. She is arrayed in luxury and wealth, but she is poor and naked. The Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 17. And the Epistle of James chapter number 5, verse number 3. The beast blasphemously usurps divine attributes, and the whore offers her abominations and fornication filth in a cup of perishable gold. First Epistle of Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 18. The brightness of our Lord's revelation enlightens our mind to see through the false glory and see the reality of emptiness, misery, and justification of the awful and righteous judgment our Lord promised. Verses 5 and 6. Upon the whore's forehead is a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the saints' blood and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 4, verses number 1 through 10, the devil shows the glory of the world. The Lamb of God sees the misery of the lost souls. The deceiver shows the power of the worldly kingdoms. Our God's Son knows the desperate need to get saved of all the souls enslaved to Him. Look from the right side at the beauty of the world, lost in sin and darkness, to see it through our Lord's Word as it truly is. Looking through the satanic deception, lost sinner is attracted to sin's entrapment. What is so mysterious about the great Babylon? She hides the grave consequences of her deception and magnifies her lies to present wickedness as holiness. She pretends to know the secrets and formulas of higher calling and to have power over the distribution of our God's blessings. Our Lord reveals to us the truth and reality of her doom and perdition. The great whore is teaching perversion, practicing oppression, pretending love affairs, and giving birth to harlots. She promises sanctification and ordains cruel evildoers. All her deeds are mysteries to her slaves. The free children of our Father know the dangers and perils of falling into her snares and accepting her shackles upon our minds, hearts, and souls. In the Gospel according to Luke chapter number 16, verse number 15, our Lord Jesus says to the Pharisees, these Hebrew Babylonians, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. In the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter number 3, verse number 19, we are given a clear understanding of her victim's path. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame. They mind earthly things. The woman is drunk with the saints' blood and with the blood of our Lord's martyrs of all ages. We are given this revelation to illuminate our understanding of our God's entire Word. By the Holy Scriptures we see the whore in her bloodthirsty character not only in persecutions, but also in her crafty and enticing entertainment, in her wickedness. The saints and martyrs follow our Savior, witnessing and proclaiming the gospel of salvation in Christ, the only Savior. He leads them through suffering and martyrdom to His glory in everlasting adoration of our Heavenly Father. The whore, her doors, and their victims follow the dragon to suffer the just and righteous judgment of our Lord God Almighty. John was amazed at the craftiness, audacity, and abominable perversion used to misrepresent the plain gospel truth. And all the enemies and all the enticements offered in exchange for salvation and life everlasting in Christ our only Savior. The dragon continues his evil treachery to the end times, but his doom is approaching and he cannot escape, nor any of his lifetime victims. Verses 7 and 8. The angel said unto me, Wherefore did thou marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast you have seen was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, shall wonder, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. One of the 7 angels of our God's final judgment helps John to bring more of our Lord's revelation to all of his disciples. This angel has the assignment from our Lord to tell the mystery and to strip this wickedness of her mask and disguise. He helps us to see there is nothing to admire. Properly, we can only abhor and condemn all her satanic devices. We met the beast with his designer and power supplier in the chapter number 13. Here we see more of both. The beast is like a shadow of the dragon, like his most sophisticated imitation and disguised presentation. The dragon was what he is not anymore, and never can he return to his original position and condition. But his blind slaves bow to him as if he still is. He is still the God of this world. He blinds the minds of them which believe not the truth, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, God's perfect manifestation, should shine unto them. The second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter number 4, verse number 4. The beast is proud to be dragon-like. The beast gives false names of divinity to many forms of Satanism that he displays. Both the whore and the beast are greatly decorated with abominations that will fully justify the dreadful judgment of our righteous God. Yet their blinded worshippers keep honoring them as divine. Some of them see the deception, but they believe they must yield. Many devil's slaves are shackled in fear of oppression, others by sinful lusts and habits, and some are too shy to appear different than their world. In my limited experience and observation of some 65 years, I rarely met a person sincerely believing that the path they follow in submission to the lost world and its authorities is righteous and worthy to live for. The beast ascends out of the bottomless pit and goes into perdition. Ascent out of the pit indicates the author of all rebellious, godless intentions and deeds. Aiming toward the perdition confirms the nature and consequences of evil. Slaves of sin observe the beast's might and influence. They are amazed, but realize not. Their sins give him the power. Our Lord reveals to us the mystery and His revelation. We must keep ourselves from the infection of self-righteousness and pride. We claim no credit or merit for our salvation. It is all by the grace of our Heavenly Father given to us in His beloved Son that our names are written in the Book of Life from the foundation of the world. Glory to our God forever. When blind sinners behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is, they fail to perceive the last and so dangerous state of the beast, and yet he is. Because the natural man receives not the things of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But the spiritual man judges all things. But we are given the mind of Christ, not to instruct him, but to be instructed by him. The first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter number 2, verses number 14 through 16. The epistle to the Ephesians, chapter number 2, verses number 1 through 5, is a blessing of refreshment to our souls. Our God has quickened us, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We walked in the past times according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Among them we all had our conversation in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and sinful mind. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved. We must reject self-pride and reverence our gracious King of Kings. The Epistle to the Romans, chapter number 11, verse number 20. Carnal man is not willing to submit to our God. Sinful mind and flesh is too proud to see the blessings of obeying our Lord. Verses 9 through 11. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. The beast that was and is not, even he is the eight, and is of the seven, and goes into perdition. Wisdom is already recorded for us in the chapter number 13, verse number 18. It is needed for understanding the number 666. Here we need wisdom to understand the symbolism and significance of the beast and the whore. Number 7 meaning is also included. Seven heads, seven mountains, and seven kings. All these numbers and meanings are linked to the beast and dragon. We know Satan's rebellion against our Lord, the devil's evil methods of pretense and disguise. I paraphrase the apostle in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter number 11, verses number 12 through 15. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion for them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, pretending to be the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is pretending to be an angel of light. Therefore it is no great surprise that his ministers also pretend to be the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Let us look into the meaning and symbolism of these words and their significance in our Lord's work and in his people's history. In the creation, 7 days present the completeness of our Creator's work. Every day is marked with some special significance to the glory of our God and for the blessedness of his creation. The entire creation would be incomplete if any of the 7 days was left out. The creation week left to us the number 7 as a number of completeness, our Creator's perfect work. In the Proverbs, the chapter number 9, verse number 1, we read, "Wisdom has built her house, She has hewn out seven pillars. Our Lord Jesus talks about wisdom in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 7, verses number 29, 30, and 35. The publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. But wisdom is justified of all her children. In the second epistle of Peter, chapter number 1, verses number 5 through 7, is an admonishment to wisely build our faith upon seven pillars, that we give all diligence to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. In the Revelation chapter number 12, the dragon gives his slaves illusion of his fullness in headship, appearing with seven heads to devour the ruler of all nations at the moment of his birth, in the verse number 5. The dragon fails. The ruler rules forever. In the chapter number 13, the dragon gives to the beast the power that he produced. The beast uses the same illusion, seven heads. In this chapter number 17, the angel explains that the seven heads are the seven mountains used as the seat for the great whore. This seductive religious harlot and the mother of harlots is resting on sevenfold deception designed to give deceitful confidence to her worshippers to trust in her sevenfold perversion. Instead of virtue, self-will and hypocrisy. Instead of knowledge, she offers superstition. Instead of temperance, rage. No patience, but irresolution. Idolatry for godliness. Instead of brotherly kindness, envy and greed. In place of charity, egocentric pride and arrogance. Instead of the Spirit of Christ, the only Savior, souls enslaved by her are victimized by the spirit of Antichrist and lifeless emptiness. These deceiving mountains of false confidence are so magnified by the dragon and his beast that each mountain is given a king to make it appear as a kingdom. Because there is no truth in the father of deceit, his governing is very unstable. Gospel according to John, chapter number 8, verse number 44. Sinners' confidence in our adversary is destined for horrific disappointment. Five of his seven kings failed already. One exists presently. A meaningful lesson is given here to every generation of true disciples. The failure of five satanic designs is our warning not to think for a moment that his devices in the time of our pilgrimage might be less ungodly, less deceptive and dangerous than ever. In his rage, his wickedness is open. Under his mask of smiles, he is more cunning. How often through the history of gospel faith, the oppression then present seemed unbearable, and already some even worse tyrannies getting ready to start reigning. Our Lord's Spirit tells us about every seemingly terrible future. It will last only a short time. Our Father has ordained the victory of his Lamb over every beast in the kingdom of darkness and death. The beast is in his nature, character, intentions, and pursuits very similar to any and all of the seven failing kings. There is no surprise in that similarity. They all have one father, designer, and false god, the dragon. They all are destined for their perdition. Men of our times are prone to ask questions or to make guesses. Who is the beast? Who are these kings? It might be easier to get an answer to the question, which one is not? The world of sin, darkness, rebellion against and violation of God's perfect order is under the spell of satanic deception and wickedness. We need not limit the bliss of our God's revelation to just some regions, to only some rulers. This book enlightens our understanding the entire Bible. Verse number 12. And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. The beast vision appeared in the chapter number 13, verse number 1. The 10 horns have received no kingdom yet. The sequences of visions do not necessarily assure the sequences of real events in past, present, or future times. 10 horns receive power the same hour with the beast. They all have the same designer, the same ruler of darkness. There is no peace and loyalty in Satan's kingdom, but mutual hatred, destructive tendencies, and perpetuating hell.